Blog Talk Radio.
We would have you understand that the flame that you are burns eternally and shall never go out, no matter how bright you allow yourself to become. We shall have you understand that you exist now and always shall, and you always have, because now is the only time and the only place and the only existence there is and always has been and ever shall be. You understand that the flame that you are burns eternally and shall never go out, no matter how bright you allow yourself to become. We shall have you understand that you exist now and always shall, and you always have, because now is the only time and the only place and the only existence there is and always has been and ever shall be. You are eternal. You are infinite. You are spirit. You are body. You are mind. You are heart. You are soul. You are an idea. You are an expression. You are a thought. You are a dream of the infinite creation. But that is reality, and all reality is couched within your dream. You contain it all. You are the whole expression in your own individualized way. You are the matrix. The matrix is you. You are everything. Everything comes from you. Everything gives birth to you as you reinforce the existence of everything and everyone. All that is, the infinite creation, the fabric of existence, chose you, chose that you should exist, chose you, consciously chose you. You are in that way, therefore, blessed, and we would have you understand that. Simply because of the fact that you exist, you are blessed. For you are created out of divine material, out of divine light. You are the infinite creator. And your existence was a conscious decision, a conscious thing, a conscious choice. Act in like manner. Be of like mind. Respect yourselves. Love yourselves unconditionally. For out of unconditional love were you created. And out of unconditional love shall you create anything you desire. Begin to feel the energy of your interlinking with all thought forms, all consciousness, all civilizations, all eyes, all ideas, all minds, all hearts, all soul, all spirit is one. And you are one within that sea, within that pool. Know that you are the fabric and the essence of the galactic energy. Not one of you, in that sense, can be removed from the matrix without the collapse of the entire structure. You are integral in that way. You are essential in that way. And we would have you understand that because you are interconnected in this way, because everything you do has impact within the entirety of creation, that you deserve to exist in this way, and you deserve to be the fullest individual you can imagine yourself to be. That you deserve to manifest all the things you can conceive of. That you deserve the existence you have been given, or it would not have been granted to you. That you deserve all the love you can imagine, because love is what you are made out of. That you deserve all the light you can create in your life, because light is what you are made out of. Feel in the beating of your heart that it keeps pace with the rhythm and the pulse of the spinning of all the galaxies, of the fabric of existence itself, of the universal heart of infinite creation. For you all beat within that heart, and not a one of you is outside the heart of all that is. You are the blood and the life force of God itself. It is your force and your life as well. You are it, and it is you. Out of your dreams, be born. Out of your heart, be alive. Out of your soul, be light. For you are nothing else. Thank you.
And you're listening to Revolutionary Life right here on Blog Talk Radio. All right, I hope I'm coming through okay. I had a little problem with my mic there earlier, so I got started a little late, guys. Sorry. Sounds like we're on. All right. You're listening to Revolutionary Life right here on Blog Talk Radio. Revolutionary Life is here every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Here at Revolutionary Life, we discuss those things that affect our lives every day. As a matter of fact, we don't just address those things. We address them from a revolutionary point of view. All right? A lot of people talk about the problems that are going on, but what about changing those problems? Revolution is change. That's all. Revolution is all about change, and change is something that is inevitable. Change is something that you will agree is constant in this world. There's one thing constant, it's going to be change, right? Well, there's some reactionaries, but by definition, who would like to hold back change, right? These are called reactionaries specifically because they would like to hold back change. On the other hand, there are those who would like to be on the vanguard of change. They're referred to as revolutionaries. The revolutionary wants to be on the vanguard of change, right? The revolutionary doesn't want to be on the ass end of change. When change goes down, it's kind of like a surfer. Change is going to happen. The wave is going to come. Either the wave is going to slap you down and take you under, or you're going to ride that wave. And if you time it just right, you can. If you time it just right, you can raise up with that wave when it comes, and you can have it pull you forward in its own motion, take you forward, ride you forward, smooth. That's the nature of a revolutionary. A revolutionary wants to be on the vanguard of change. You know, when you're on the front of change, you might have something to say about what it looks like as it forms. You're on the ass end of change. You're on the back of change. It may be too late for you to have any influence or understanding even of that change. We try to keep our fingers on the pulse around here. And so as things change, we change with them. Or we try to understand that change so that we can compromise with that change, if nothing else. Right? And so, or oppose it, if necessary. Accept it, oppose it, or leave it. All else is madness. But we want to know change and see it coming. Today, guys, today here on Revolutionary Life, our topic for today is duality versus non-duality. There's a whole philosophy out there. It's kind of like a New Age philosophy, I imagine. Actually, it's not really New Age. It goes all the way back to Lao Tzu. It goes all the way back to the Chinese philosophers, ancient Chinese philosophers. Who push something called non-duality. That it looks like there's two, but there's just one. It appears as two, but it's really just one. It doesn't look like one, but that's where the spirituality, the consciousness, or the awakening, or the being able to see, quote unquote, comes in. Because you can't see. It's hard to see non-duality. It's hard to see that everything is one. Since everything is so different. It's not apparent. What is apparent is you got a right and a left. Leg, arm, eye, brain. What is apparent is you have male and female for reproduction. What is apparent is you have night and day. What is apparent is you have right and wrong. We've all experienced duality. So what about this non-duality ideology? What are you trying to say? That this is an illusion? That two is an illusion? That that's just one? Two sides, I mean. Not just two, but two sides. Is there hot and cold? We've both experienced hot. All of us have experienced cold. So we know that there's a duality. But now we're being told, well, there are philosophies out there that say, no, it looks like that. But it's not really that. It's something else. It's one. It's all one. Right? There's not two. But there is two. I mean, come on. Everything that I just described tells me that there's a dual world out there. If I look in the mirror, I could literally put a line down the middle of my body from my head to my toe. And I can see that there's two sides to my body. The left side's got an eye, an ear, a mouth, an arm, a leg. And the right side has an eye, ear, a mouth, and an arm, and a leg. And they're merged together down the middle. When those two don't merge together down the middle, we have cleft palates, cleft tongues, cleft spinal cords. When those two sides do not merge, you see clefts in the chin. You see people who have real deep indentations in their chin. That's where the two sides come together. That's that middle point I'm talking about. If you draw a line down the middle of your body, it's very obvious on some people. They literally have a dent or a division in the center of their chin. They literally have a dent or a division in their nose, in the center of their nose, at the tip of their nose, or between their eyes. And you can literally see that line. And it goes all the way down their body. And consequently, it's hard to poo-hoo, it's hard to put aside duality. It's staring us in the face everywhere we turn. So what is this concept of non-duality? There's a yin and there's a yang, right? So the idea of oneness, there can only be one, doesn't seem to work in the real world. Well, in the 3D world, in the world we live in, it takes two. It takes two, baby. It takes two, baby, to make a dream come true. It takes two. And they have to be opposites. And however they're opposites, they have to be of the same vibratory rate. They have to be of the same weight. They have to be of the same caliber. Except they must be of different polarities, of different charges. Positive and negative. Positive and negative charges, electricity, the hot pole and the cold pole, the hot pole and the negative pole on your batteries cause electricity to flow. You can't make electricity flow without one or the other, without them both, can you? No. If you look at your batteries, it tells you turn it this way for the negative side, put them in that way to make the positive side. You have to put them in both ways. When replacing batteries, because the battery has a negative side, a nipple on one side, and a dent on the other, on the bottom, so that they're dual, too. Everywhere we look, there's duality. So how did they get to be one? Where does this oneness come from of everything? We're all one. We all one. Is there an enlightened stage we get to where we don't recognize left and right, male and female, good and bad? Now, there are those who haven't come to the real realization that we are in a duality, even though that's obvious. Two eyes, two ears, two holes in your nose. That's two of everything out here. Except there are some who will argue that there's only one. And that's not just in Buddhism or Taoism or some enlightenment, New Age idea, right? But there's a God and there's a devil, duality. And even in religion, there's a duality. In religion, there's good and bad. There's a God and a devil. There's good and evil. Duality. And you try to tell a Christian, try to tell someone who believes there's a heaven and a hell and there's a good and a bad, that they're both one. They're both part of the same thing. They're both, they're not two, they're one. They're just different extremes or levels or amounts of quantities of the same thing. Right? No, uh-uh. Good is distinctly separated from evil in religions. Hell is distinct place different from heaven. Even though they are preached about by the same religion, they are seen as separate things, not one thing. I mean, if you believe they were one thing, you would believe that the creator and created both, good and bad. Uh-oh. You mean God created good and bad? You mean God, our benevolent, loving God, created evil? God can only create good. You know, children's laughter, beautiful things, flowers in the park, sunshine, rainbows. Not devastating floods. Excuse me. Not evil. Not death and destruction. No, birth, flowers, and springtime. That's God. Not death and destruction and winter and cold. Right? That can't be God. That must be the devil. So even in religion, there's a duality. We've separated the good from the bad. And we don't let the good, in fact, if we can't mention that the creator of all things, the creator of everything, the creator of all things, did not also create evil? Either you're the creator of all things or you're not. If there exists a thing, God created it, right? And so there is a duality to be found in religion when you realize, when you would exclaim that there is but one God and he had but one messenger. Whatever that God's name is or whatever that messenger's name is, it's only one God. Well, if there's only one God, then duality was created by that God. It's hard to believe that there's only one God, but there's something that God did not create. Now, God created everything, I'm told, but except one thing, evil, death, destruction, crime, corruption, badness, moral behavior. That's the work of the devil, malfeasance. God don't control that. Of course, God would have stopped it. God would not allow that to exist. If God, if good, was in control of everything, then why would good allow for there to be evil? Oh, that's just to test us. All right. Then let's look at science. Let's look at science. Science says hot and cold are two distinct things. But you can be fooled into thinking hot is cold and cold is hot, because it turns out that that hot and cold are relative. Things are hot in relationship to things that are colder than they are. They're colder in relationship to things that are hotter than they are. Here's a good example. If you have a cigarette lighter that you can see through, where you can actually see the fluid inside, that fluid is only fluid, only liquid, because it's cool. Like water and ice. Steam turns to water when it's cool. Water turns to ice when it's cooler. Well, the liquid in the butane in your cigarette lighter is cooled down, compressed. And that's why it's liquid. That's the only reason you can see it looking like water in there, dripping around like liquid. That's the only reason. Because the moment it comes out here in the air where we are, it's warmer out here, room temperature. The minute it comes out here, it turns to a gas. And it's flammable. And it turns to a gas. And if you try to light a spark on your lighter, that gas will burn. You're not burning liquid anymore. You're burning a gas that's coming up out of there. Why is it liquid inside of your lighter and gas when it hits the air? Only because of the temperature, the different temperatures. It is the same fluid. It is only one fluid in different states, right? So we don't get that mixed up. We know that it's butane, but now we know that butane can be a liquid. We can watch it inside of our lighter, flop around like water. But we also know that butane can be an invisible gas. Once we push that button on our lighter, a gas comes out. It would be a liquid if the temperature in that room was as cold as and compressed as the temperature inside of your lighter, but it's not. It's hotter relative to the butane. But water don't turn to steam just because it got some air on it. It came out into the air. Excuse me. Why wouldn't water do that? Water would be liquid at room temperature. Butane will not. At room temperature, butane will be steam, will be gas. It takes a lot more heat to turn water from liquid into a gas, but water will turn to a gas as well. And you can freeze water and it'll turn to a solid, right? It all depends. The fact that it all depends, guys, the fact that it's all relative to something else means that there is no permanent state, that the environment is dictating the state of hot or cold. That means the theory of relativity. That means that it's hot relative to something colder. It's just like tall. You say that man is tall because he's 5'12" or 5'11" or 6 feet. Well, next to somebody who's a basketball player who's like 7 feet tall, That guy's short. To the 7 feet tall guy, a 6 or 5 feet tall person is short. To a 5 foot person, a 6 foot and a 7 foot person is tall and taller. You're only tall relative to something shorter. You're only short relative to something taller. So short and tall can be permanent ideas, left and right, good and bad, hot and cold, male and female. These are states of the same thing. I could only imagine that oneness, this concept of oneness and non-duality, I can only imagine it speaking to the fact that when we see two, it's the result of one, and it returns to one. It came from one, and it returns to one. That two are children of the one. Two are necessary wings of the one. Two is the one adjusting itself to the environment. Were it not for a change in the environment, the two would remain one. You see what I'm saying? The one, baby, is a move. Two is a move that the one makes. Imagine this. If you're standing on one leg, if you only had one leg, and somebody said, move forward or backwards, you lose your balance trying to do that with one leg. So an intelligent one would produce a second leg so that while you lift one, you can place down the other for stability. And while you place down when you pick that one up, you place down the other for stability, and you're walking now, you're moving forward. Ask the baby what it's like putting one foot in front of the other. Two is necessary for balance. Even though the two look totally different from each other, maybe, they are the same. And they have the same source. And they only exist in relationship to what's necessary to move in this environment. This gravitational pull. So two appears everywhere. Two wings. A bird has two wings, not one. They look the same, don't they? But they operate separately. And they operate together in unison. And by their cooperation, a bird can fly. Can you imagine a bird trying to fly with one wing? Duality is necessary for balance. Duality is necessary for movement forward. Right? For something that is one, two allows it to walk. If the two sides can coordinate themselves, they walk. A baby is learning to coordinate his left and right walk, his left and right side, in order to be able to balance himself so he can walk. If you ever drove a bicycle, the steering wheel, the handlebars, allows you to turn the tire, front tire, left and right, left and right, left and right, and you will find that you will be doing both. Turning your steering wheel to the left, to the right, to the left, to the right, to the left, to the right, to stay up on a bicycle. The moment you quit turning your steering wheel left or right, it falls over. You keep it up by a constant left and right motion. And the faster you go, the less of a left and right motion you need, but you still have to have a left and right motion, even if it's a tiny one. Yeah. That leads to balance. So left and right, duality, does bring us back to one, balance. But it's not just necessary for balance. You can make one thing balance itself. Oh, yeah. Well, movement, walking. In the military, you actually hear the terms left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right. What are they referring to? What are they referring to? What are they referring to? They're referring to your legs, your feet. That's two of them, and you can't walk forward without them both. But if you can get them to move in unison, if you can get them to move in a coordinated, rhythmic manner, you can dance. Male and female. White and black. Left and right. If you can get them, a Republican and Democrat, progressive and conservative, if you can get them to coordinate their movements, you can dance, you can fly. If you can keep them from coordinating their movements, they will never get off the ground. And most, they'll go around in circles repeating the same mistakes over and over again. The left and the right, even in politics, have their charge, their positive or their negative. But they have to know that even though there's this duality, of positive and negative, they have to know that to move forward requires both. To come together as one does not mean you give up being positive, or you give up being negative, or you give up being male, or you give up being female, or you give up being right, or you give up being wrong, or you give up being good, or you give up being bad. To move forward, you need both. Do you give up the dark side for the light side? To move forward, to walk, or run, or fly, or dance, you need to coordinate. You need to use both sides, and you need to coordinate both sides. You need to establish a rhythm, a beat, a pulse. If you're creating a living thing has a pulse, a heartbeat. A heart beats, and then it relaxes. It beats, pumps, and then it relaxes. It does both. You breathe in, you breathe out. If you do not do both, you can't move forward. I don't care if you prefer inhaling to exhaling. I don't care if you are prejudiced against inhaling and you only want to be a part of the exhalers. That will not take you anywhere. It will end you. So you got to take a deep breath whether you want to or not. If you want to continue to move forward, you got to accept the left and the left has to accept the right. If you're going to work out some way where that acceptance does not cancel one out over the other. Right? You have to discover a rhythm, man. Music. You have to discover a beat, man. A stop and go. Once you get a rhythm going, you can move. You can dance. You can fly. You can walk. Try walking without a rhythm. Left, right, left, right, left, right. That's so you walk on beat, on time, in rhythm, in lockstep. So, yeah. Okay, hang on, guys. I want everybody to hang on just a minute. We do have a caller calling. And we're going to go ahead and take that call now. And so, everyone, hang on. We'll be right there with you. Try it again. Hello, caller. This is Gary here at Revolutionary Live. Are you listening into the program today?
Well, hey, Gary. Yeah, I was calling to see if I can listen in today.
Great. Yes. Great. It's fine to listen if you just want to listen, but you call our line, our call-in line, so I thought you had a comment.
Oh, no, if I can call to listen in, if I had a question, I'll just press 1.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So, yeah, you don't have to dial to listen, but now that you're on the page, you can just listen. But if you want to comment and come online where everybody can hear you, that's when you press 1. That's when you dial a number, dial in. And then the chat room will be open, and you can also make comments in our chat.
Okay, so can I continue to listen?
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Okay, no problem. No problem. So what we're discussing tonight here at Revolutionary Life is we're taking a revolutionary look, I guess, at this concept called non-dualism, because there are many people who go and study this subject, and it's hard to realize in reality, well, what we consider reality, because everywhere you look, there's duality. Two eyes, two nose, two ears, you know, day and night, night and day, sweet and sour, up and down. It's hard for you to tell me that there is no duality. We don't live in a world of dualities. The human body is a perfect example of two sides, but it's a perfect example also of two sides coming together as one. Now, that's what you mean by non-duality, that the source is one, the source is the same for the two, and where they're going is the same for the two. Okay, it just takes two to get there. I got that. It's like walking down the street. One leg won't do it. You can balance yourself on one leg, but you can't move forward. If you need to move forward, you need a second leg in this atmosphere, in this world. And so you learn to do left, right, left, right, left, you know, like you hear in the military. You learn to synchronize those two legs. And if you can sync the left wing and the right wing, if you can sync female and male needs and requirements, if you can sync these opposites, the one can move forward. The thing can move forward. The body can move forward. A bird with one wing would just fly around in circles even if it could get off the ground. A conservative without a liberal or progressive would just take us around and round in circles until we eat up all of our reserves and die. A progressive is more opportunistic. A progressive, regardless of resources, will still want to expand and grow. That can get to be dangerous because you might look behind you and you've expanded and grown past your resources. And now you got no supply line and you're out there in the middle of the lake without considering whether you had enough supply line, enough rope or whatever. Conservatives will at least have you stop and take inventory before you go forward. Conservative at least means that let's stop and take some inventory of where we at now, how much we've gained, and how much we have to expand before we expand. A conservative shouldn't say we shouldn't be progressive, but we should be progressive based on our ability to pay for that progressive. That makes sense. And so you can get a progressive to agree to that. We will progress at a rate. We won't stop progressing and become conservative. We won't stop conservative and become leftist. We will continue to progress when necessary, but we will progress at a rate and a rhythm. We'll have a beat, like wings of a bird beats as they flap or whatever. We'd have a rhythm. There's never meant to be one or the other. One or the other is a balance, but it's not moving forward. If we are to move forward, we do need to. Duality must exist. But I think what the esoteric people are saying about non-duality is just that duality is a convenience. Duality is a development. An emergent out of movement of the one, out of a necessity of the one to maintain balance as it moved forward. So it developed two. Makes sense. 2 feet, you can take a stand. You can balance. If you ever took martial arts or whatever, one of the most important things is start out sparring or fighting, most important thing for you to do is balance yourself. And when I say balance yourself, what am I talking about? Your left side and your right side. That's you all over. That's your whole you, your left side and your right side. And so in karate, especially in Tai Chi, you learn first, before you throw a punch, you learn to balance yourself. And yourself is your left and right side of your body. And there are exercises to bring you to balance, right? So, and then balance is beautiful, but to step off and make a move, you have to go unbalanced. And two, it takes two to maintain that, to regain that balance. Right? And so duality exists maybe as an emergent, as something that comes out of the necessities and the needs of the one. And so we could call it oneness. There's only oneness. There's no duality. But there is duality. We just have to put duality in its place. Right now, its place is the place where we maintain balance as we move forward. Because walking is just sustained falling. If you understand, walking, jogging, this is just running, this is sustained falling. But your left foot catch you before you hit the ground, and your right foot catch you before you fall, and your left foot catch you before you fall from picking up your right foot. Your left foot goes down, you're right, you know what I mean? You are saving yourself every time you take a step from hitting the ground. Get drunk, and you'll know exactly what I mean. Drink a little bit too much one night, and you'll know exactly what I mean by balance. Two is necessary. We do live in a duality. We don't live in just, unless you're talking about some conscious esoteric thing, we can't say that we live in just a non-duality, just a oneness, a singularity of some kind. Because if the singularity was whole in and of itself and didn't need duality, we could move forward as a single thing, entity. But in order to move forward as a single entity, it seems that we had to have two equal and opposite sides. I don't know, you guys, if you're familiar with a graft. A graft is kind of like a piece of paper with a bunch of blocks on it, all equal size squares on it. And sometimes it has a heavy cross, line cross, showing on horizontal and a vertical line. Now, if you have a horizontal and a vertical line that's graduated by inches up and down and across, in the center where those two lines cross, the crossroads, there's a zero. That's balance. That's the first balance. That's the first cause, the zero. Out of the zero, if the zero happens to move to the right, it will create a positive one out of balance. The only way for it to maintain its balance is at the same time create a negative one back in balance again. So even on your graphs, even on your timeline, your number lines, negative one, the negative numerals are integrals, and the positive numbers are just reflections of each other. And what are they for? They're for to seek balance. That's what the equal sign in math is. The equal sign in math says this side of the equation is equal to this side of the equation. Therefore, if there's a scale there, then what you're saying is what's on this scale is equal to what's on that scale, and so you have balance. So an equal sign implies balance on both sides of the equation. And so an equal searching for a sum or a divisor or division or quotient or whatever, what you're searching for is something that is equal to. Is a result that it is equal to. If you divide a number and the number you're dividing it by is not equal to the dividend, then you have something left over. Right? Two will go into seven three times, but now all you got is a six and a seven, and so you got a one left over. You're still out of balance. You still haven't achieved balance. You got to achieve balance. That seems to be the nature of the universe. And so you might have to add a zero. So if there is a oneness of all things, it seems to me that duality is but a function of the oneness to maintain its balance. The negative one, the positive one on the scale must have a negative one on the other side of the scale to balance it. If it moves to a two, a positive two, then there must be a negative two to balance it. The zero is balance. Now, your Arabic numerical system does not, now it's taken over by the Latin community, since it was taken over by the Latin community, and when they're way back in the 1300s, since it was taken over by the Latin community, who at the time, the Romans only had numbers for letters. Letters for numbers. If anybody know anything about Roman numerals, they know that Roman numerals were X for 10, L for 50, C for 100, that kind of thing. They didn't have numbers. It's kind of awkward. Until, of course, they acquired from what we call today the Arabic numerical system. The only problem with that is they tell your children to start counting from the number one. What happened to zero? Well, the story goes is that when the Romans conquered Cordoba, Spain, which was run by the Moors at the time, they found books on mathematics. And when they opened the books up, when they saw the zero, they didn't understand what that was. So they called some of the Jews around. The Jews were living in Spain at the time, peacefully. And they could read the Arabic. And the Jews said, that's a zero. And the Romans, Catholic Church and the Roman scholars said, what the hell is a zero? So we've kind of left zero out, guys, as a source of one and two and three and four and five and six and everything else, all the way up to nine. And so the Catholic Church couldn't, and all the Christian and European scholars had never grappled with the concept of zero. And so today we speak Arabic when we utter the word zero, because there's no Latin term for it. If you've never grappled with an idea, then certainly you've never formed a word for that idea. And since they hadn't grappled with the concept of numerals, starting with zero to nine, then they were unfamiliar with the zero and its purpose. So they said a zero is empty, it's nothing, it's a space holder. But that's not true. And your kids will do their math a lot better if they understood that the numerical system starts with zero, that for every one, there's a negative one to bring it back to zero. In other words, your kids can prove their mathematical work by saying 3 + 5 minus my answer equals zero. 3 + 5 minus, if your answer, let's say, was 8. 3.5 minus 8 should equal back to zero balance. If 3.5 does not equal the answer I just put on my paper, I can tell by just adding it to the equation, 3.5 minus 8 equals. 3 + 5 minus 7 equals. Whichever one of those will equal zero, you got the correct answer. So your kids can easily test their homework by taking everything back to balance, back to zero, back to source, by creating a three-level equation. 3 + 5 minus whatever the answer is should equal zero. 5, if the answer was 8, then they're going to say 3 + 5 minus 8 equals. And they should get the zero, and they know they're right. They don't have to count on their fingers or anything like that. All they got to do is bring it back home. Zero is balance. One is out of balance. A positive one is out of balance. A negative one is out of balance. Until you have both a negative and a positive, you haven't come back to balance, which is what nature tries to do. So if that's what they're talking about when they say that there's oneness, there's a unification, there's a singularity, there is no duality, there's not two, there's only one, then they must mean that the big picture is there's one thing with many colors, with many vibratory rates, like light. That's white light, but if you examine it, is made up of many different colors. Those colors are vibratory rates of light, electromagnetic wave lengths, right? And so if you didn't break it down, you say, oh, there's just one light, there's just one beam of white light. But if you broke it down, you'll see a rainbow. When we see a rainbow, we don't say, hey, that's a beam of white light. We say, that's a rainbow. So the one would be the white light. The many, or the differences, would be all the different frequencies that make up that light. So duality is just as important for balance as is the concept of there is non-duality or oneness. But I wouldn't even call it non-duality. So that's my point, guys. Because tonight I wanted to deal with the concept of duality. I wanted to deal with the concept of this idea of non-duality, that there is no such thing as two, it's only one. And once you reach enlightenment, you will be able to see through the duality to the fact that it's all connected. Well, it's okay. I can go with it's all connected. But it is very visible to me that there's a positive and a negative out there. So they are connected too. Just tell me they're connected. Tell me they're part of the whole thing. Tell me there are different quantities and phases of one thing. That I can handle. But don't tell me there is not two. That's difficult for me to swallow. We do live in a duality. But maybe it's a duality within a unity, or what y'all call a non-duality. Maybe there is just one, but the one sometimes needs to elaborate. The one sometimes may need to spread itself out. And when it walks, it walks. When it moves in two. Positive, negative, positive, negative, left and right, left, right, your left, your right. In the military, your left, your right. You had a good home, but you left. You had a good home, but you left your right. You had a good home, but you left your right. You had a good home, but you left. You learn a rhythm for walking. And that rhythm helps you walk faster and farther and longer than somebody walking without rhythm, without a beat. You think it's difficult on those long marches? Get a rhythm going. Anybody out there who jogs, anybody out there who bikes, jump rope, get a rhythm going, and you can outlast anybody who doesn't have one. You can move. But that rhythm is one, two, duality. All right, guys. Now, that's my session for tonight on duality and non-duality. I haven't dealt into Lao Tzu and the Taoist concept of non-duality. I understand there is one, and some of you may have. Duality to me is obvious, necessary situation on this earth at this time, given the environment we live in. It makes functioning in the environment easier, I can tell, not just for human beings, but for animals. Everybody who has two sides. Symmetrical beings. But maybe I can see that there's a larger presence out there of which this duality is a part of, which this isometry is a part of, the symmetry that we share is a part of. I mean, I always thought of my body as one unit. But it's not very hard to look in the mirror and tell that there's a line down the middle. From my head to my belly button, there's a division. And there's a left side and a right side. And I can have pain on one side or the other, not both. Well, hopefully not both. And so there's a right eye and a left eye. There's a right brain and a left brain. So I know two have come together to make this one. It's obvious. What's your ideas on this subject? I'm going to open my phone lines. I got my chat room open, guys. And so anybody, and this is a call-in show. So anybody have any questions, comments, concerns, please put them in my chat or give me a call. If you give me a call, you come right onto the line. Everybody hear what you have to say? Everybody will hear my response. My phone number is area code 319-527-6060, 319-527-6060, and my chat room is open. All right. This part of the show should be my call-in section. I call it your time to shine. So if you do have questions or comments, this is the time to offer them. I want you to think about it. You can call me and go on the air, or you can hit my chat room. I'm going to give you a little music while you think about it. I'll be right back. Revolutionary Life, right here on Blog Talk Radio. We're here every weekday night, folks, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Friday. So this is our Friday night show, so we won't be back till Monday, guys. But tonight, we took a look at this concept I've been hearing about called non-duality, that we do not live in a duality. We do not live in a world of doubles, of left and right. We live in a singularity, a oneness, a unified one world, and it just appears to be a duality. But there's only one, or whatever. All right? And so I wanted to address that in the sense that the concept is not very obvious What's more obvious is that we do live in a duality. What's more obvious is there is a left and a right, a good and a bad, a right and a wrong, a hot and a cold, a male and a female, an up and a down. Right? Yes, they are. And they depend on each other for their existence. Light is the absence of darkness. You can't even explain light without including its opposite. Even in its definition, light is the absence of darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. You need them to define each other. They define, that's how close they are to being just like each other. But they are two. They are definitely two distinct charges to an atom, a positive charge and a negative one. They work together to form molecules and atoms, but they don't lose their charge. They just figure out a way to work together to move forward. Whether you're a Democrat or Republican or conservative or progressive or on the left or on the right, we don't move forward, male or female, we don't move forward, we don't progress as a species until we find a way to work together, like two wings on a bird. They're opposites, yeah. You know, maybe one's black and the other's white. But if we're part of a oneness, if that's what they mean, if we're part of a larger thing, our differences are an emergent factor of that larger thing, necessary, you know, not frivolous differences, necessary differences for that larger thing to move forward, to exist and to move. White light, when it's broken down, is created by, is made up of a bunch of colors. Red to violet in the visible spectrum. But if you back up off the reds and violets, you'll see just a white light. But if you break down the white light, you see a rainbow. And you realize what its constituent parts are made of. So maybe they need each other. Maybe they don't have to give up. Red doesn't have to quit being red in the rainbow. It just has found its lane, its place. They're somewhere between violet and pink. It's found its place. And purple and all that. Red found its location. It's the longest wavelength. And that doesn't interfere with the other wavelengths. It found its lane and stayed in its lane. And consequently, we have a white light. As every vibration of light have found who it is, what it's for, what it's here for, what it's about, and it's pursuing its nature. Maybe if all of us human beings found out why we were here and what we're here for and what it's all about, we could get in our own lanes and make this whole thing called life on Earth move forward without intruding on anyone else's lane. I got that. So I don't think it's duality or non-duality. It's got to be both. It's got to be the little things that make the big thing work. My lines are open. We got a few more minutes left. My lines are open. My phone number is 319-527-6060, 319-527-6060. I have my chat room open as well. I'll be monitoring that chat. You have questions, comments, concerns, hysterical outbursts, whatever. You can put them in the chat or you can give me a call. I'm going to give you a little music, and I'll be here if you make that decision, but I'll be right back. Hang in there. Revolutionary Life, right here on Blog Talk Radio. We're here every weekday night, Monday through Friday, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. All right, guys, and I'm your host. My name is Gary. I want to give this opportunity to remind you that if you want to follow our shows and you want to know when we're on live, if you're on our site, there's a follow button just above. Hit that button, and when we are on live, you'll be notified. Also, there's a share button up there on above the site. There's a share button. If you know people who might be interested in this subject or today's subject or any other subject that we've discussed, you can always share that subject with them. And by the way, all of our broadcasts are archived. So if you'll scroll down my page when you're on my site, you will see every previous presentation we've done. Pick the topic. We've covered them all. Remember, here at Revolutionary Life, we cover all the topics that affect our lives every day, that affect our lives every day. The difference is, as we address these questions from a revolutionary moving forward point of view, and revolution is just change, guys. Revolution is just change. And if there's one thing constant in this world, it's change. The revolutionary just wants to be on the vanguard of change. It's the reactionary who wants to hold back change. Maybe they benefit from the way things are. But change is inevitable. You can't stop it. If you're revolutionary about change, then you try to stay on the pulse. You try to stay on the beat. You try to stay on top of the change. You see, when you're on the front of change, when you're on the vanguard of change, you might have something to say with how, what that change looks like when it goes down. Uh-huh. You might be in the position to shape that change. If you're on the ass end of change, you probably won't have any say in what it looks like. You know, it's kind of like a wave in the ocean. If you do not time, if you're a surfer and you time that wave just right, it's going to slap you down and take you under. But I don't care how big that wave is. If you time the change properly, you can ride that change. You can have that change take you forward like a surfer who rides a wave. You got to be in sync with the change. Things are changing now. The change is here, guys. And if you ain't on top of it, I got news for you. It's going to slap you down and take you under. Like any wave would. So people come here to stay, keep their fingers on the pulse, baby. You come here to understand, for clarification. We can't move forward without clarity of our choices. Revolutionary life, where we deal with the subjects that affect our life, but we deal with them from a revolutionary point of view. And revolution is just change. I want to thank everybody who listened in tonight for listening in tonight. Our topic tonight was to address this concept of non-duality I'm seeing in some of my social media. It is a concept that denies that there's duality in the world, that there's two of everything, that there's actually just one thing out there. And I try to wrap my mind around that concept. And as I explained tonight, the best way I can figure that out is this duality is a product of the one. The one remains in balance by expressing itself in a positive and negative quantity equally. That's the only way to return to balance. And nature abhors an imbalance. An imbalance is a nuclear bomb. It imbalances chaos. And nature will move heaven and earth to regain balance. Why a nuclear weapon is so devastating. Because every atom in the area is going to get shook up until balance is restored. When one is split. When an atom is split. Nature will find its balance and settle down after a while. But it will seek its balance. And so balance, I think, is what it's all about. That's the only reason you have two, to stabilize, to find a rhythm, to find a beat to move forward by. That doesn't take anything from the negative. It doesn't take anything from a progressive. It doesn't take anything from a conservative. There's a time to be conservative and there's a time to be progressive. One or the other is a death. One or the other is standing still, not moving forward. Organize and compromise, I guess you could call it. Coordinate, I call it, your left and right. And your left can do its thing, and your right can do its thing, and the body moves forward at a clip. Maybe that's what this non-duality is all about. A duality within the one, expressed by the one. I want to thank everybody who listened in for listening in tonight. Remember, we're here every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. East Central Standard Time. You never know what the subject's going to be, so I encourage you to hit that follow button so that you'll be notified when we're live and what the topic is going to be for tonight. I want you to keep in mind that all of our shows are archived. So if you couldn't stay for the whole show, if you missed part of the show, in an hour from now, this show will be in our archives, and you'll be able to pull it up on demand. And if you look down our page, you will find that all of our previous shows have been listed there and available to you on demand. And by the way, guys, if you make a comment on an old show, guess what? I'll get that comment. You can't call in on an old show, but I think you can comment. There's a comment section, even for the old shows. And this is a call-in section, so a call-in show. And so I always put aside a part of my show to hear from the audience. If the audience has anything to add, to take away, to compliment, to whatever, or questions, or just comments. All right? That's the way it's done here. Thank you again. I want to thank everyone again who listened in, for listening in. And I'll see you Monday night at 7 p.m. as we start our next week off. Hit that share button if you know anybody who's interested in one of these topics. And they could be up on this. They can make their comments if they like. I'll give them whatever they are. All right. All right, guys, I'm going to take us out of here. And I'm going to give you a little music as we go out. Thank you again for listening in and have a wonderful evening. And I will see you Monday night. 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Friday. My name is Gary, guys. All right, thanks for listening in. Here's a little music, and we're out. Thank you.
Paul. Just a little. Yeah. I'll just come. Ich habe geklappt hier.